definitely had like ugly tears. Yeah. You know, it was a tough day. There's photos from they threw the surprise like rap party type thing for me, and I was crying all over the place. I couldn't keep it together.
Bit of a classic for you, Beyonce and Jay-Z. Soon enough, I was really feeling shady. I'd be putting in like sound effects, maybe pretending I'm Solange beating the shit out of him. But Allison Sweeney's here, and she never indulges in shade, right?
Oh, I throw shade. What are you talking about? I can give a side eye when I need to.
We're gonna see. At some point, we have to test her to see if she can give what we now call Palm Sunday shade.
Mm. Oh,
the shade is so intense; it's religious.
Oh, I love it. Oh, that feels good.
That's good, right?
That is good. That is so good.
So yeah, so we're gonna because I feel like Allison Sweeney can hang.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks.
I feel like she can hang. So she is joining us. Of course, you know her from God. You know, sometimes you work like Florida Evans in an episode of Good Times. We were talking about how some people work like James Evans in an episode of Good Times, like going to wash the dishes and then working in the car wash. You're kind of like Florida.
Yeah.
Like you work a lot.
I work a lot.
You work a lot. So you know her, of course, from The Biggest Loser, from Days of Our Lives, from so many other things. And she has just released her second novel, Scared Scriptless. It's the follow-up to The Star Attraction. And so I've been reading Scared Scriptless. My favorite place to read is on the train, pre-dawn.
Oh, well, I didn't expect you to say that. I expected you to say another favorite place to read. I'll just be honest.
I'm usually on my mobile there. I try not to linger too long. It's not good for you.
It's not good for you. It's true. It's like, that's a long book.
But not because it's fun to read first thing in the morning because you're kind of groggy and you're like, and then you dip into this book and it's like pure escapism.
I love to read in the morning too.
It kind of clears the cobwebs. It kind of gives you a little bit of a smile before you have to look at people.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a fun book to read. It's a great summer book, y'all, because it's a great beach read.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. It's a good airport book.
Yeah, it's a good book when there's a lot of other things going on. If you have kids that are, you know, playing or screaming or, you know, running around, you can still focus on this book and still sweeps you away to the fantasy world.
It's very Calgon. It is. And I mean that, you know, because I think what I like about this book and I liked about the first book is that it doesn't pretend to be anything other than entertainment.
Right. Yes.
And pleasure.
Definitely.
And I think that we, you know, in the business are so intent on making our statement that we forget that people really just want pleasure.
Right.
That the greatest gift you can give to an audience is a moment away.
Yeah, I don't have a misconception of what my book is or what kind of writer I am. And frankly, it's the kind of book I like to read. So I enjoy that. I enjoy a break from real life, and I like books that I don't have to reread a sentence. I mean, I can read those too, but sometimes you don't want to read the same paragraph four times to like really digest the information. Right. Sometimes you just want to like speed through the pages and find out what happens next. You know,
and my feeling is, I have a lot of those types of writers of those types of books on the show from time to time. I never finish those books.
Right.
Do you?
I can, and I have, but it takes a long time. You have to really commit to it.
But it feels like a school assignment.
Yes, it does.
And honestly, I'll pour into it, and I'll have best intentions, and then once they walk out that door, Allison,
right,
gone.
And then you do feel like you're reading it for. I mean, like we're carrying a fancy purse. You know, aren't you just finishing it? Or reading it just to say, oh, I read that book.
I read that book.
Yes, I've read that at a cocktail party.
Exactly.
Really. No. I didn't say I finished it. I just said
So I bought it.
I have that book.
I have that book. Yeah. What I always say is, it's on my desk.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Which means it's not on the shelf, because the shelf means it's just collecting dust. It's on my desk.
Or bedside table. Could you say, it's next to my bed?
Yeah.
No. That's too much of a commitment.
That's way too much. No. Because really, I have scared scriptless. I'm on the side of my bed.
There you go. See?
It's true. Because, I wanted to get through a big chunk of it before I saw you. So I just got the book a couple of days ago. And so I was reading it before I went to bed last night. And I'm like, this is really good.
Oh.
It's just because it's just really fun. Scare Scriptless talks about a gal named Maddie Carson. And she is a script supervisor on a hit TV show. But as happens to most of us who work in the business, we start to hate. We start to hate a lot of the trappings.
Yes. And I think that she actually is someone, first of all, I liked the idea of finding a job that maybe people don't know a lot about.
Yes.
Or people have misconceptions about. And if you don't work in the industry, you might not know exactly what a script supervisor does. But it was really fun to sort of pull back the curtain on that, show her doing her job and what that life is like. And she's actually really good at it. And
yes.
She is type A and she is meticulous. And she's surrounded by all these artists who, can't keep anything straight. And I mean, it just is the bane of her existence, her very organized life. But she has her own dreams and her own ambitions. But I think you get set in your ways and you get comfortable and you get used to life and you're like, this is pretty good. Do I really want to risk it for trying for the next thing? And then through these set of circumstances, she's sort of forced / encouraged to take a chance. And then she finally gets on board. And I love that. I love that it's a book about a woman finding herself and choosing to believe in herself and believe in her abilities.
And what I like about her is that the character doesn't fall into the trap of we've met women like Maddie in other books and pieces of entertainment before, and they're usually broken.
Oh.
And do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you kind of wind up going, oh, bless her.
Yeah.
Or they become murderers. And,
they become the villain, yeah, because they're like,
yeah.
And they never get their way.
She's just, you learn why she's like this. And you follow her through her journey, and you don't pity her. You just root for her.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I like her, and I root for her, too.
Yeah. I mean, I instantly liked Maddie, and I thought I would like to see Maddie. I'd like to, see her on my screen. These are, like the first book, this is very... They're ready to be filmed. If you're not already planning that, someone needs to be planning that.
Yeah,
but
we're working on it.
I bet you are. she's a character I'd like to hang out with.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Entertainment for me is always. I think it's true for a lot of people. You want the characters of entertainment to be likable enough so that they can inhabit your world. You're letting them in your house. I mean, you've been on TV for how many years? And
yeah, 21.
No matter how bad Sammy has ever gotten, he still wanted to hang out with you.
Right. I know what you mean. That's so cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I really dig that about her, and I dig that it goes down a lot of interesting, roads, some of which you can predict, some of which you absolutely do not predict. But you never stop liking her.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. She's a real
fan. And I wanted to make her but she also, she's not too perfect.
No.
I think that's important too. Like, she definitely makes mistakes along the way.
Yeah, yeah,
she
yeah.
makes mistakes that you relate to or that I related to. I wrote one sort of confrontation or argument scene with a guy, and my husband gave me the thumbs up, that's the dumb things chicks say. because I wanted it to be she's at fault too. She's not, I hate when literature or women's lit like that gets very focused, the girl is always right. She's not, and she made a mistake. She said something that's really stupid.
So talking to Allison Sweeney here on The Jolt, it's 42 past the hour. The book we're talking about is called Scared Scriptless. I always have to cheat to the sheet because I always mess up titles because I almost say Scared Shitless over
well,
and over
again.
Well, that
was exactly yeah. what I was going for.
I know you were. But I'm curious to know where the fuel for fiction writing is coming from in the first place. Obviously, when you do the kind of work you've done, which is not just acting for 21 years, there are certainly a lot of people who do that, but you've done an insane bulk of acting. Daytime drama is volume at the height. I always wonder if it burns you out on ideas, or if it just makes you think of all the things that should have been played out that haven't been played out, and you start thinking, oh.
Yeah, that's sort of really where I came from, in that I love Sammy. I love playing Sammy. I always have. But there have definitely been times along the journey where I'm sitting literally on stage in a scene, watching it play out or being a part of telling that story and thinking in my head it shouldn't go this way. Like, I really wish it went that way. That's sort of the beginning of my desire and ambition to sit down behind my computer and say, first of all, I have a tremendous amount of respect for the writers who write Days of Our Lives and who write Daytime and who write in general. I mean, that's what a challenge. But to write that much material as is required for, you know, what do we do, 250 episodes a year? I mean, that's a tremendous amount of workload. So I sort of had the thought of like, well, you know, why don't you just sit down and try to do it yourself? What can you do? And I developed this character and I sort of created this world around her. And the next thing you know, I really did find satisfaction in getting out my own creative instincts in telling my own stories. And I just I don't know that I'm cut out to be a soap writer, because I like happily ever after. And I was going to say happy ending.
Hey.
You know, but
there's nothing wrong with liking that.
Yeah, awesome. Yes, not. You're right.
Even ladies.
Yeah, that's okay. True. Believe me. But I like telling the story. I like telling it my way. I'm definitely a control freak. Mm. I like that I zig when you think I'm gonna zag, and that it all works out, and so I just enjoy the shit out of it. I have so much fun writing. I really love it.
Do you write with your own self in mind? Do you think I could play this girl?
I did with the first book, with The Star Attraction. Sophie was very much me in a lot of ways, and kind of an amalgam of me and my best friend. But I do think that at the heart of it, it's like, you have to write what you know. So even though I picked parts of Maddie's for this book, Scared Scriptless, Maddie is sort of a person I invented, but she had characteristics of a few different people I'm really close with who work in entertainment, who do have that job, that meticulous sort of, continuity type job. And then my own, you know, I am also very, you know, meticulous, and I cross my T's and dot my I's, and I like things to be very structured and organized. And then I am a movie quoter. In the book, I made Maddie a movie quoter, because that's something I do with my brothers, and it's always been sort of part of our life. And I just liked that it was kind of an alternate side to her personality. I mean, she's so type A and on focus and always just like serious about stuff. And I think movie quoting, it's a funny thing for people who do it. I don't know if you quote movies, but for me, it's like, it's just funny for me.
Yeah, I do.
I'm not doing it for you.
I do it more with music. And I'll do it with music more than movies.
Okay.
That's because I'm more of a music guy.
Right, of course.
In general.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it drives people insane. And usually they don't understand.
And they don't get it. And then, of course, it's just your secret inside joke.
And you just think, well, it's not really for you anyway.
Right, okay. Right.
Na-na-na-boo-boo.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
So anyway, those are the kinds of things that go into my writing and how I think, and it's a tremendous amount of fun.
That sounds really cool. Again, Allison Sweeney here with us on The Jolt. Okay, so you are leaving Days of Our Lives.
Yes.
When?
Well, I filmed my last scene almost 2 weeks ago.
I know, but you guys film very far in advance.
That's correct.
So much further than other shows.
Than any other, yeah. Sammy will continue to air on Days into October.
Into October.
Yes.
Wow. That's actually not as far away as I thought it was going to be.
Right.
How did it feel to shoot I mean, that's such a cliche question, but I have to ask you. Was it horrible?
I mean, I definitely had, like, ugly tears. Yeah. You know, it was a tough day. There's photos from through this surprise like rap party type thing for me, and I was crying all over the place. I couldn't keep it together. But it was really, really lovely and really special that they did that and meaningful. And these actors came from, came to the set who hadn't, weren't even there anymore. Some crew guys came. This guy who had retired showed up, and Mike had been retired a year, cameraman, and he drove all the way down from his farm in the middle of California to be there. And
wow.
Wayne Northrup, who used to play Roman.
Yeah, of course.
He came.
Oh my God, he was there.
Yeah, he drove down to be there. I love him. Such a, he was, played my dad. He was my first dad. And Josh was there. And then Christy Clark and Patrick Muldoon came. And Christy doesn't even live in L.A. anymore. She flew in for it, which was, like, the sweetest thing ever. And she totally faked me out, too. I had asked her to come if she could be around for my last day. I didn't think anything was happening, but I just wanted, you know, to have my friends around. And she wrote me on Facebook that she wouldn't be able to come. And she wrote, like, to my other friend, give Allie a hug for me. So I really believed that she wasn't going to be there. And then all of a sudden, she's standing there on set.
Oh,
and my husband brought my kids, and my kids had flowers. I was a mess. A hot mess.
You know, I'm really pleased, and I bet you are as well, that at this point in your life where you've decided it's time to look at the other things that life has to offer, that as you leave, the show is in such great shape. As opposed to having, nobody can say she's jumping ship or jumping a sinking ship.
Right. No, of course. I would not feel okay about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the show's in good shape. I mean, actually, Days, we were talking about this off the air, is the highest quality show on television right now.
I think so too.
It wasn't bad in the past. The Purple Era. We all think about the Purple Era. On the show, but I mean, it's in a really good shape. You know, the shows, the daytime dramas that are on the air are all sort of fighting to stay alive and vital. So it's
in a good way, in a good
it's a very optimistic
way.
Time.
Yeah.
So that must feel good.
It feels good, yes, to know that I feel the show is in good hands. It's being run so well, and they're working so hard, and that's what matters. I mean. And that's what I've been saying ever since. I feel I have tremendous confidence in Ken that the show's going to be around. The 50th anniversary is a year from November. So, you know, I mean, I think there's a lot of good times ahead.
How did you tough out some of the 'cause Sammy has been through it.
Yeah.
Through it. And always compelling, always fun to watch. But there were occasionally times where I thought, how is she doing that? Like, I think about, why are they taking that poor baby's eyes out?
I know.
Oh, that was the worst. I think that might have been the worst story they ever had you do.
Yeah, Sammy's been through the ringer. I mean, no question. And there have been, you know, I think when, Johnny had eye cancer, and then baby Grace died of bacterial meningitis, and that was just heartbreaking. And that was really hard because I think one of my favorite things about the character Sammy is that she has this sort of life, you know, an enthusiasm, and she kind of attacks the world or goes after what she wants, and she wears her heart on her sleeve. And I feel like those are characteristics that you cannot have, that get pulled out of you when you lose a child. And so for about a year and a half, I played Sammy as low and slow and sad and just empty inside as I could muster. And that's hard to do for a while. And I remember towards the end, you know, fans were like, where's the Sammy I used to know and love? And I feel like they didn't write that. They wrote a woman who's lost her child. And it's really a hard thing to recover from. And I actually know people now who have gone through that. And it to out of respect for that kind of thing, I know it's a soap, but you kind of have to pay tribute to that.
Well, you do, and I think, you know, on one hand it was tough sailing, but so was life,
right?
And I think, you know, I was as hard as, you know, that story just murdered me.
Yeah.
I also thought, well, you know what, she's not suddenly jumping into bed with somebody,
right?
Or suddenly hatching her next devious plan the next day.
She's got to slow down. Just
it's a little. It was real time enough so that it didn't burn. But it would be ridiculous to even try to recount so many things. But I just always loved. I love the range. I love the range of what you brought, and you know, just when I think, oh, yeah, and no, I really loved it when Sammy was like a raging bitch. And then I'm thinking, oh, but was anything hotter than the insanity between Sammy and EJ? Or
yeah, I do think that's part of what the legacy or the fun of Sammy over the years that I can look back on is, you know, I really have been had the opportunity and the good fortune to play a 16-year-old girl and a girl who was fighting with her mom and then found her own place in town and started to really take authority of her life. And she was always, like I said, willing to go after what she wanted. And then from there, just really like going through the roller coaster, right? I mean, she had highs and lows and good times, and I think was a very different person in her relationship with Rafe and certainly with Lucas. And then, you know, there's a very different side to her that is very attracted to her relationship with EJ. And so, I mean, I think the writers have all along found this very multifaceted character, and it's been fun to play.
It's really one of the great soap characters of all time. Really one of the great characters.
Yeah, thank you.
It's
I feel
really
very
amazing.
Lucky to
very, very amazing.
Had that opportunity.
And, of course, we can't let Alison Sweeney slip away without commenting on how fucking skinny she looks.
Right.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my gosh. You both look at me. You look fantastic, too.
Since last
I saw you, how much weight have you lost?
About 28 pounds.
That's great.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's fantastic.
But you look really, really good. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're just keeping yourself really healthy, aren't you? Because you look radiant.
Yeah. Healthy.
You don't look scotch taped.
No.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do. I do. I am a fan of the Spanx, so let's not get crazy here. But it's just, you know, I'm happy with my life. I'm happy playing with my kids. I'm happy running around and getting things done. And, you know, being here in New York, you walk for miles. I got lost in Central Park on Monday. That was amazing. And you just, it's just fun to be able to do these things. And that's what I love about working out and being fit and eating right is that I eat so healthy so that, like, last night I can, you know, have a little treat and not feel bad about having.
Look at that.
Which is what we were talking. Actually, it was so funny. I was going to ask you, and you just brought it up without me needing to. We started our program today because it's Wednesday. And, you know, the question is, how do you know when to give yourself a break?
Oh,
and not be so strident and know it's okay.
Right.
You know?
I think that for me, it's because I've learned this from my kids, you know, and I approach the same mentality with the way I feed them, and that every meal is a healthy meal, and that they eat a healthy breakfast, and I prepare them a healthy lunch, so that, and we have, you know, dinners at home, we cook at home all the time, so that when a play date takes them to a fast food place, please don't do that, just in case any of the parents listen. Or, you know, they have cupcakes or desserts or Twinkies or whatever, I don't feel bad because that never normally happens,
right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And I guess I all of a sudden realized that same rule should apply to me. I eat healthy every day, and I always sort of take care of myself, and I try to work out when I can, so that then last night we're at a fancy restaurant in New York City. We went to ABC Cucina, and if I want dessert, we're going to have some. And, you know, then it's about a portion thing. Three people split one dessert. I had a, you know, couple bites. It was delicious. And then you
move on.
You move on, yeah.
Well, Alison Sweeney, always a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for coming to see us. Alison Sweeney's new book is called Scared Scriptless. It's available right now. It's so much fun.
Yay.
It's fun. And we need some fun. So,
and if you're fun, you should read it.
You should.
You're fun.
You'll
my book is fun. You should
lot
clearly
less fun
be together
without
then,
the
then.
Book. And of course, make sure you catch Alison in her final weeks as Sammy Brady on Days of Our Lives. Come see us again.
I will, of course.
Stick around. There's more to come on The Dolts.